I know with all the Christmas promotion already, it seems that we've skipped over Thanksgiving this year, but I assure you we haven't. It's still coming. Later this week, we will gather together with friends and family as we are able. We will share together in some way the giving thanks for the many blessings that we have in our lives. And I'm sure that each of us have similarities in our gatherings and our traditions. But there are variations in how we will celebrate this week in our traditions, and our menus, I'm sure, will vary. What is your favorite dish at the Thanksgiving table? I want to hear a few answers. What's your favorite dish? Turnips. Did you say Brussels sprouts? Mashed potatoes. Turkey. Stuffing. Squash. Pumpkin pie. There will be variations. I now have a new favorite dish at Thanksgiving dinner. A new favorite. It was a couple years ago, Kimberly and I were unable to go home to Pennsylvania to be with our families on Thanksgiving. So we decided that we would invite some of our friends who also weren't able to be with their families to our home in Montclair to join us. Being that it was our first Thanksgiving, that we would not have any members of our extended family present. Kimberly and I both took on the great responsibility and pride to authentically recreate the traditions and recipes of our families. It was going to be a grand country Thanksgiving in Montclair. We were going to have Kimberly's mom's potatoes, my grandmother's stuffing, her grandmother's sweet potato casserole, my mother's turkey seasoning, etc. I wanted so much to be at home, at least in my taste buds, as well as to share in our family's traditions with our guests, even if we couldn't be with them in presence. Finally, when people began to arrive at our house for dinner, I would greet them at the door and receive whatever they had brought, and I would take it into the kitchen to prepare it for the table. Some brought desserts, some brought drinks, and some brought sides. One of the families arrived and handed me a hot casserole dish filled with biryani. Now, if you don't know, biryani is a mixed rice dish, and it comes from northern India, which is where this family happened to be from. Even though I otherwise love biryani, and I know that it's primarily the celebratory dish in certain regions of India, it's what you have at weddings, it's what you have at family gatherings. I knew all those things. I just didn't know how it was going to go with my grandmother's stuffing. I couldn't imagine putting gravy on the biryani. So grateful, yet very unsure, I served the biryani along with the other traditional dishes, and we began to share Thanksgiving dinner together. Soon enough, I was pushing aside some of the many items on my plate so I could make room for a second helping of the biryani, and then a third, perhaps a fourth. Today, when people ask me what my favorite part of the Thanksgiving dinner is, I pause and I smile and I say, the biryani. Not only do I love it as a dish, but it has come to represent for me a wider sharing, something I learned at that Thanksgiving meal, making room at the table for both giving and receiving. That Thanksgiving, we shared an American tradition with a family who had not experienced it before. At the same time, they shared a piece of their home and their traditions with us in a way we had not experienced before. And we were thankful together. Jesus encounters the sharing of gratitude from a foreigner in this passage about the 10 lepers from Luke. He was passing from a through a village that was between Samaria and Galilee when 10 people who had the horrible disease of leprosy came to him and they were begging to have some sort of relief in their lives. They asked to be healed. Now, it's common, if you have wondered, it's common for lepers to be in groups. Of course, they were 10 of them. Because so often they would have had to live in colonies separate from the main village so as not to infect the non-lepers. This means that they would have to live away from their families, away from society, away from people they knew. So they were often found together. When Jesus saw them, he told them to go and show themselves to the priests. Now, the significance of this is that it was the priests who had the ability to declare someone ritually clean or unclean. And so if the priests said that they were clean, they could once again re-enter into the temple and they could once again re-enter into society. On the way, it says that one of the lepers realized that he had been healed. His body had changed. Something had happened. And immediately when he saw that his leprosy had gone away, he turned back, gave God praise, and thanked Jesus. We know that when Jesus saw him, he asked where the others were. And he noted that only one out of the 10 came back to give thanks. And Jesus pointed out that person was a Samaritan. Now, what we need to know about Samaritans for this to be significant to us is that the Samaritans were a tribe of Jews who had a difficult history because they had broken off from the other tribes to inhabit a certain mountain which they called Shomron or Samaria. In time, the inhabitants of Samaria intermarried with people of other nations. They began to worship other gods aside from the God of Israel. Their children didn't look like the other Israelites, and they lived with different traditions. For mainline Jews, the Samaritans were considered impure. They were miseducated, and they were untrustworthy people. Several times in the Gospels, Jesus uses Samaritans as examples of unlikely faithful people. In this passage, Jesus highlights the Samaritan as the example of how people who we may consider to be foreign to our way of thinking still can teach us something about God and about faith. Jesus then said to the Samaritan or the foreigner, "Your faith has made you well." Now we know that they had already been healed. They went to the priests, but Jesus uses a different word here. He says, "Your faith has made you well." The Greek root, sozo, can be translated as healed, made well, made whole, or saved. Jesus saying is that the man's faith went deeper than just the ritual cleansing that the priests would offer. He had been made whole on the outside and on the inside. Something happened. An ignorant, mixed blood person with a messed up theology and a history that leaves him with no bragging rights was the one who was made whole because of his faith. What about those who were of the right tribe? Those who were of the right faith and of the right people? Where was their faith and their gratitude? I'm going to take a guess to think why the other 9 didn't come back. Perhaps what held them back was their entitlement to healing. Now think about it for a moment. Leprosy, if you've ever seen it in pictures or in movies or even in person, it is a terrible, terrible disease. It robs the victim of their community, their place in their society. Not only does it take away physical wholeness by damaging nerves and skin, it also marginalizes a person through efforts to quarantine the affected person. They lose their career, they lose their standing, and they lose contact with family. I'm sure that the 9 lepers who had lived with this disease were more than eager to get back to their families and neighbors. They had become victims for seemingly no reason, and now finally, they were going to get what they deserved all along, their lives back. Of course, who am I to argue with them? But there is something that we can learn from the perspective of the foreigner. The Samaritan had no expectation that Jesus would ever have mercy on him. The Samaritan had taken his illness as his lot in life, and he knew that he did not have power to change it. Surely any restoration of health that would come to him must be from God. As we enter into this special week of Thanksgiving, you and I have an opportunity to reflect why we gather, why we eat, and for what are we giving thanks. Perhaps when it comes to Thanksgiving, you, like me, have difficulty with the idea that God has blessed us with many things. Do you have difficulty with that idea? If you believe that God has given us a house, a car, the many things and the stuff that surround us, this can become problematic if we take that one step further, because it may mean that if we are blessed because we have stuff, that those people who don't have stuff aren't blessed. Have you ever wrestled in this way? I have. Maybe you should try it. The reality is that we are blessed by God in our wealth and in our poverty. We have been given precious gifts in our lives, even if we struggle, even if we've suffered loss, or even if we face uncertainty. Thanksgiving is not contingent upon getting. Thanksgiving is for life itself. We cannot do it on our own. Even if we have worked hard to get where we are, even if we studied extra hard to get our education, even if we have worked for everything that we have, we cannot do it on our own. And we are not blessed for our enjoyment alone. In his book, Generous Orthodoxy, Brian McLaren says that if we are ever to be a chosen people, we are only chosen to bless other people. Being grateful for what we have doesn't mean that we are condemning others or that we limit God's blessing. I believe that the lesson from the 9 lepers is that if we are entitled to what we have, meaning if we expect it, if it's what we deserve, we can lose perspective of our great blessings, and we also can lose perspective of the needs of other people. I chose gracias as the word today in the bulletin to remind us of a perspective that is other than our own. It can teach us and remind us of what we have, and it can remind us of how we need to give God thanks and how we need to share that blessing with others. The German church reformer Martin Luther said that the nature of true worship is the 10th leper turning back. It means that worshiping God is that even in our great health, in our own leprosy, in our own hurt, and even in our ecstasy, we give God thanks as the source of our life, the source of our very breath, the source of nature and creation, and the source of our neighbor. So this year, whether you eat Thanksgiving, biryani, heaven forbid, Brussels sprouts, whether you say at home, gracias, merci, xie xie nanti, kamsamnida, shukriya, or simply thank you, let us be aware of the goodness of God. Let us remember that the foreigner, both in the gospel passage and in our daily lives, let us remember that if we feel alien to certain blessings, we might feel a deeper sense of gratitude for receiving them. We are not entitled to what God gives us because it is out of God's goodness not our own. Let us never lose our sense of awe at the gifts we have been given, and let us always be thankful by blessing others. Can you say amen with me?
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for this holy opportunity to share with families, with friends, with strangers, with loved ones. God, we thank you for the way that you bless us, even in our difficulties. May we always be aware of the gifts in our lives, and may we always be conscious and aware and attentive to the needs of others. Work in us, O God. We give you thanks. Amen.